Good morning. How's everybody doing? The question was everybody, not like four people. How's everybody doing? That was so much better. You guys sound so good. Well, hey, I have a couple announcements for you before we get into the service today. Number one, if you're a guest or maybe you've been here a long time and you simply feel like you're not connected, right after service, we have a connect room. Look, we love people, and we know it's really easy to feel lost in a room this size. We don't want anybody to feel lost. We don't want anybody to feel like they're not a part of the family. So right after service, we have coffee, we have snacks. Right over in this hallway, if you go out the back doors and hit a left by the bathrooms, we'd love to meet you, love to get you connected, love to have a conversation with you. And this is for anybody, whether this is your first time or maybe you've been here 6 months, 6 years. However, we want to make sure that you're connected to the body of Christ, because this is about a community, not just sitting in a seat, right? Right? I just feel alone. I don't know. I just feel alone. Isaiah is with me. There we go. The second announcement is this, is that VBS is coming up very soon. If you have a child, VBS is amazing. And it's the middle of August this year. We have one at every campus. So maybe you know somebody who lives closer to another campus. But VBS is 3 weeks this year. Ithaca, Horseheads, and Mansfield. If you have a child, we'd love to get you signed up. You can go right to the website. Get your children registered. It's not just a break for moms and dads, but also it's a great time for them to learn about Jesus. And then the last announcement I have before we get into service is something little that we do. It's called Uproar Conference. And it's this week. And it's crazy, guys. This is year 10. This is our 10th year. So we started here. We're having year 10 here. And it's going to be just nuts. It's going to be nuts. But if you know any youth, any young adults, it's a 100% free event. We believe that God's going to move in just a crazy way. I believe that people are going to get set free. They're going to get saved. They're going to get healed. They're going to launch in their purpose. And we know that this weekend's going to be a special one. And we're excited about it. But what I'm even more excited about is the moment we're in right now. And that's, we're in the house of God together. And we're here to worship and experience a living, loving God. Can you guys stand to your feet as we pray and we get into the service today? We can just go ahead and lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you put together community. We thank you for corporate worship. We thank you that we can come together and lift up your name. Father, today I pray this isn't about us. This isn't about anything else but you. So Jesus be glorified in this room. Jesus be lifted high in this room. We're here to worship you. We're here to grow in you. We're here to honor you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, move and have your way. Lord, let it your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, invade this place so that our lives will reflect you, so that this room would reflect heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you love him, can I hear an amen from the back to the front? Let's worship.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? We'd love to invite you just to come down here real quick. Y'all can come on down. And while you come, just come on clapping. We got a lot more space. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. We all know this song. Come on and sing it with me.
Say, my strength, sing my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sing my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sing my strength. Oh, the joy. That he is enough to overcome.
Fix my in-ears, they're slipping out and everything. I gotta hear, I can't hear, it's just wild. So while I'm doing this, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's my strength this morning. Turn to your other neighbor and say, other neighbor, he's my strength this morning. Turn to the neighbor behind you, the one behind you, say, neighbor, he's my strength this morning. Now give God praise because he's your strength this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's amazing. We are a church. We are a community. We are a community. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands, guys. Lord, you're so amazing, and we thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for filling us up, God. Thank you for filling us up. We feel your anointing even now. Hallelujah. Sing this with me. Say, consuming fire. My heart's desire. And oh, how I need you more. A fresh outpour with no resistance. I give. So come now, invade my life. This life is yours. Come fill me up, Holy Ghost. Shine bright into the whole world until we know your love. Come set me on a holy fire. Burn bright into the whole world. To be a living fire.
set me on a holy fire, burn bright into the whole world. Your love, and this is my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, consumed complete. Come on and sing that. This is my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, consumed completely. This is my, see, only this I see, yeah, to be a living fire, consume me, Lord. Hey, this is my one, and yes, I'm seeking you, to be a living fire, consume completely, see, consume completely, consume completely, consume completely, see, consume completely, consume completely, consume completely, consume completely. Set me on a holy fire, burn bright into the whole world. Your love, hallelujah, glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory, because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know, and hallelujah, glory. And I will praise you, and I'll worship you, I'll give you glory, because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell. Come on and shout this out, say hallelujah, hallelujah, sing glory, yeah, to the God who changed my life, and I will praise you, say I'll worship you, and I'll give you glory, because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell, come on, last time, shout this out, say hallelujah, hallelujah, sing glory, yeah, to the God. Saving, y'all know this, sing this out. So you came and
changed my life.
You thought I was worth
keeping.
Yeah. And you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. Stay right there, stay right there. Say you thought I. You thought I was to die for. Sing that again. You thought I was to die for. Yes, you did. See, you thought I was to die for.
Cause I'll tell everyone I know. Cause I'll tell everyone I know. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. And I'll worship you, yes. I'll worship you, yes. I will, I will, I will. 'Cause it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Sing that out. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Say, it's all.
One can make me whole again. Take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way. I have not turned aside. I will not depart from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn back him? But when he desires, he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. The Lord shows me this morning that some of you are going through some challenging times, and you just got to know God's just testing your heart. Amen. Now, I want to validate something. Anything that comes against the covenant of God, sin, God will never use sin. God will never use sickness, and God will never use poverty as a testing in your life. But there are things that he tests. He tests our hearts. Do we really want God? Do we really want God? You know, we're in a season right now that's very unique in the church as a whole. That is, over our entire season, over 2020, 19, we literally watched people's hearts get tested. Now, I'm not talking COVID. COVID was nothing more than an opportunity to have your hearts tested. And I pray that you come forth as pure gold. I pray that your hearts be clear and complete, and that Jesus literally seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I think more than ever before, I'm understanding Solomon. Now, I didn't have his billions. I don't even have millions. I don't even have hundreds of thousands. But I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. But Solomon made a statement and he said this. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And the more you grow in Christ, the more you realize you can gather everything and still be absolutely poverty-stricken. You can have everything that your little hearts desire and still be absolutely poor. But when you get a hold of God, then, you heard me preach it a few weeks ago, your life is wrapped in your purpose, not your purpose wrapped in your life. When you do that, you live different. You think different. You act different. God is healing someone's right wrist this morning. If you take your middle finger, follow it straight down through the middle. I'll just say, I believe it's carpal tunnel. If you're having that, just start moving that wrist around. God is releasing that in Jesus' name. There's another person on your left wrist. It's out near the outer knuckle on this side. You're having pain in that vicinity. God is healing you. Pastor Andrea, the Lord says, I see you in secret as you know. You are my daughter that truly knows me. You have surrendered and given up much. Even what others would accelerate in, you have surrendered to do my will. The Lord would say, I know your private thoughts, I know your private feelings, and I want you to know, my daughter, that I am pleased with you and that I am holding you in high esteem. Oh, I, God, see you as not just a daughter, but a daughter of obedience and a daughter that is submitted to me. And I honor you as your father. I honor my daughter. And that even those things that are done in secret, I will reward you. And the rewards that will come will be a wonder even to you, because I've postured you in your obedience to make supernatural impact and change many lives for me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God has great plans for your life. Don't you dare settle. Don't you dare settle. My wife and I were talking this week about the apostasy. Many people don't realize what that is. The apostasy is a great falling away. There's the anointing. Some of you have fallen away from God. You're in the room, you're watching on live stream, but you've fallen away from God. That means you don't love him the way you used to. You can say all that you want. I do this for God, I do that for God. You can do everything for God and go to hell. What God is after is you. And I pray that today your heart, and if it's not, that you'll make your heart after God. Because listen, when you mature, and if you ask anybody here that was more mature than I, it is true. Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. You can't take it with you. You can have it all, but you can't take it with you. Get God, and with all you're getting, get God. Amen? Amen. It's so powerful. I just sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What happens is, when the anointing is here, the anointing is to do work on behalf of God. It means God is working in your life today. You might not be able to see him tangibly, but you got to know that in the presence of the Lord, God is working in your life. So just pray this with me. Jesus, I don't understand everything. In fact, I don't understand most, but I trust you. Change me, Jesus. Change me forward, Jesus, to be more like you. I will submit. I will surrender. And I know if I submit to you and I resist the devil, he has to flee. So, God, I have complete victory in you where I belong. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, we're doing meet and greet, but I want to remind you, as we do meet and greet, not everybody is comfortable yet. We want to make sure that you do not disrespect people. And that is, before you shake someone's hand or hug someone's neck, please ask their permission. Is it okay that I do that? If not, please honor them. You can love them even 6 feet away. Amen? But honor people. Honoring is everything. If you honor, it brings access. When you dishonor, it destroys access. So love somebody this morning. Go find somebody you don't know. Please don't go sit down. Joe, don't sit down. Go find somebody. Amen. Go find somebody and shake their hand and say, good morning, you look just marvelous today. If you're watching online, I want to encourage you. This is your opportunity to reach out to somebody you know that isn't watching right now. And send them a little note, send them a text and say, hey, you need to jump on this Facebook page. You need to watch this YouTube. You need to hear the message that God has for you today.
Well, good morning. Of course, we have Lost Pastor in the crowd once again. It's so hard to pull away from meet and greet. We have missed it so much, and we absolutely love you. We love that we get a chance to hug your neck and greet you and say hello. If you're a guest in the house, we welcome you today. Right following the service, we have a guest reception where the pastors would love to meet and greet with you. We have some coffee and snacks. It's right down this hallway. So if it's your first time or you just have never gone, go ahead and connect with us in the connection room down the hallway. We welcome you to the house of God today. It's going to be a powerful time. Pastor Cody started out the service by talking about uproar this week. It's going to be a phenomenal week. And a part of our kingdom builders is uproar. It's something this church believes in. And, I don't know. Do we have our kingdom seed envelopes anywhere? Yeah, the small one.
Isn't Pastor Rhonda beautiful? I mean, for being as mature as she is, she looks great.
Buy it. He spoils me. Don't let him fool you. So we have Kingdom Builder envelopes. We actually
had somebody leave the church once because I said that.
Really?
Yeah. Remember that person? They said that I mistreated you publicly.
Oh, please. Don't take offense for me. I'm strong. I can handle it. I am unoffendable. Trust me. At this stage in life, if you are not unoffendable, you better learn how to get that way really quickly or it will take you out. Anyways, that's not the sermon. Although I could go on with that. Anyways, we have an opportunity. Uproar had a couple of extra challenges that came up last minute. And Pastor Cody's desire, I think it's about $4,500. Pastor Cody's desire is always to make this free, and it will be free for the children coming. But one of his other desires this year, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but don't tell anybody. One of the night's offering, he really wants to go towards blessing Alex, the young man who's 17 years old, who's doing a crusade, a salvation crusade in Virginia Beach a couple weeks after Uproar. He wants that money to go all the way to that and not have to worry about covering any expenses. So as we take the offering this morning, if you're interested in sowing towards that, just mark it on the envelope. Even if there's not a place, just write in big letters on the front, Uproar. Yeah, that is not your tithe. That is seed sowing above and beyond your tithe and offerings. This morning, Henry Fuchsman has made tithes and offerings easy for me because he has an awesome testimony to share with all of you. And nothing speaks better than a testimony. So, Henry, thank you so much for sharing this morning.
You're going to stand with me the whole time? Sure. You're making me nervous. Well, that's okay. I've got till at least 11 o'clock until the next service starts. I have my notes. So he thinks I'm kidding. I'm not. See, I got all my notes here. Anyway, what I want to tell you that this is not my favorite part of the service. He's probably saying, "Oh my gosh, why did you guys let this guy up?" Well, the reason it isn't my favorite part of the service because I'd rather hear him preach or I'd rather be in worship, and the other reason is if you've been born again or a Christian in any length of time and you look at the Word of God, you know tithing is one of the foundational steps of Christianity, right? I mean, it's like getting up in the morning, like I hope most of you brush your teeth. I know Sister Andrea does, and I do. I don't know about the rest of you. But tithing and bringing money is about as basic as you could get. And one of the things that I want to share with you is, you know, we do this week after week, and this thing went dead on me. I'm not like these kids that know all these stuff. But anyway, there's a couple of verses that I want to share with you. In Hebrews, it talks about about leadership and about pastors. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. So some of the things that he talks about is because he's accountable to God. It's not just because, you know, he's trying to shake us down, even though he does want to shake us down, you know. He's only got 3 jets, in case you guys didn't know. I did take a ride on Jet 1 one day. And if you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you in Manhattan, where I grew up, part of my life. But anyway, so they are accountable to God. And it goes on to say, give them reason to do this with joy and with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So one of these days when I'm going to stand in front of Jesus, Pastor Mike is going to be there, and maybe some other pastors, and Jesus is going to say, what about Henry? And I hope that Pastor Mike will say, man, he's a good guy, you know, he helped when he could. I pay him to say that stuff about me. But anyway, I hope that he has a good testimony about me, and that he would have a good testimony about all of us. That's one of the purposes of being a leader and being a pastor. But anyway, I know that we got a second service coming. So pastors are like shepherds, right? They're here to protect us and to make sure that we're healthy and blessed. I try to make sure that I really pay attention when people speak. I don't know if you've noticed, within the last 2 or 3 months, I think Mackenzie was the first, she had a testimony about, you know, tithes and offerings, and she quoted from Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. And then Corinne, did I pronounce that right? I'm a little nervous, you know. I only speak to presidents and general managers of companies like Sister Andrea, but you guys make me nervous. But anyway, so Mackenzie quoted from that, from Malachi, which is kind of like the go-to verse on tithing. And then Corinne, the very next week, did the same thing. And so when I hear stuff like that, I pay attention, because many times God will speak. And neither one of them, I think, heard each other's testimony, because Corinne many times is running around with a little baby in and out. And I'm almost sure that she was not in the service when Mackenzie gave her testimony. So I'm going to be the third one. And if you do have your Bible, turn there. And it says, you know, will a man rob God? For ye have robbed me, God says. But ye say, wherein we have robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And this is, I know it's a little whatever, so you could get offended at me, but don't get offended at them. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So when the pastor or some leader harps on tithes and offerings, it's not about a shakedown. He doesn't want you cursed. He wants to do everything that he can to make sure that you're not cursed. Now, I also call him the pastor of statistics. He knows all the statistics. I have a little problem with my speech, you know. But anyway, last time I think I heard him say that only 18% of Christians give. That means 82% don't. So those of you that don't, you have a tremendous opportunity to get out from under the curse. And we wonder many times, you know, what's happening in my life? You know, I'm maybe doing stuff, not doing stuff. Why does it seem like I am under this cloud? Well, it could be because of tithes and offerings. It's not me saying it, but you can't get offended at me. I'm always in trouble anyway. But anyway, the Word of God, you know, a few years back, I put on the front of my Bible, Life's Manual. It is my life's manual. You know, sometimes when you get a piece of furniture or something, or a bicycle or something you got to put together, you get a manual with it, right? Well, the Word of God is a manual for our lives. And so what the pastors, what leaders want, they want us to get out from under the curse. That's all it is, get out from under the curse. I've been tithing for 47 plus years, almost from the beginning when I got saved. I know many of you thought I was 39 years old, but I'm not. I'm 38. No. Watch out for the lightning and bolting might strike any moment. But anyway, when pastors say stuff, it's just so that our lives could be better. They could be blessed. I mean, that's all it is. And so, and I want you to get out from under the curse. We don't want to be under enough curses. There's enough stuff in life going on that we don't need to add stuff onto ourselves. I'm just a firm believer not to inflict pain on myself. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't need to be inflicting any more stuff on myself than what I do probably already. And so what I want to kind of close here real quick is I also want to share with you about the principle of first fruits. It will take a little bit longer than that, and I only got another 45 minutes. Don't worry, Pastor Mike. But anyway, what first fruits are is if you look in the Word of God right from the beginning to Genesis, God always, you know, asked for the first fruits. You know, some of the songs we sang this morning, weren't they awesome, you know? And they were absolutely awesome. But first fruits. So I want to give you an example. Let's say you got $1,000, and this is how many of us live or have lived. We got $1,000, you know. I did a job for somebody, landscaping or whatever, and I got $1,000. So what we do is we go, okay, I got to pay my NYSEG bill. There's $100. I got to pay, you know, this $100, this $100. Oh, there's another $100 here. Maybe I'll go ahead and tithe, maybe not. Maybe I'll just give half. But that's not first fruits. First fruits, and I sincerely believe in this and I live it. That's why I'm so handsome. Who said amen? I love that guy. R.C. Ike, my man. But anyway, I pay him well. I want you to know that. But anyway, what we want to get in the habit of doing when we get that $1,000, the first fruit, that first $100 goes to God. You know, Pastor Rhonda, I can't believe I call her Pastor Rhonda, but anyway, Sister Rhonda. Pastor Rhonda, in the last few weeks, she was talking about moving your money from the natural to the supernatural. That's what happens when we do that, when we obey God in all of his principles, just like 4. When we obey God's principles, we get to another level, you know. And so the principle of first fruits, it's not the last $100 that we want to give to God, but it's the very first $100. I know many times, before I even got my paycheck or whatever I'm going to receive, I know maybe what I'm going to get, you know, 2 or 3 days ahead of time. I want to tithe already before I even the money hits my account, you know. That's why I have I want to give you 2 very quick testimonies. Don't worry about it. You don't have to preach as long today. So anyway, many years ago, I was supporting 3 homes. We had moved from Elmira to the Rochester area, and we had a house here we called a farm, and a couple hundred acres, and it was worth maybe about $115,000 back then. And all I wanted to do was to sell it. And my wife loved the house, even though when we would come back and visit, stay with our son Josh, who isn't here yet, we wouldn't even go up to the farm. And so I finally said to my wife, I said, listen, I can't support 3 houses. I got to sell the farm. So she wasn't very happy with me. Like most of the time, she's not happy with me. But after 48 years, you know, she's learned to put up with me. But anyway, so I said, listen, I'm selling the farm. So she calls up my daughter. Double teaming, it's called. So I get a phone call from my daughter, who wasn't really even serving the Lord, but she understands faith. So she goes, Dad, oh great man of faith, what are you selling the farm for? I said, well, it's probably worth about $115,000. That's what the bank would loan. And so I'm going to list it at $149,000. And I'll take anything because I just want to get rid of the mortgage payment. And she goes, oh, really? Your faith is that strong? So she gave me the business. She does take after her father. And so so I said, well, Melody, so what do you think I should ask? She goes, well, I think you should ask $229,000. I said, $229,000? I would pay maybe $115,000. You telling me to ask $229,000? Even if somebody wanted to buy it for $229,000, the bank won't loan them that money. How could I ask 229? And here comes the famous words again. Oh, great man of faith that you are, Dad. So I said, okay, well, my faith is good. I said, well, how about if we settle at 189? And I'm going, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Sometimes I talk to myself. I have great conversations. Hey, you're looking good today. Yes, thanks, man. So I said, okay, 189. And we hung up, and I'm going, oh, my lands, what did I just do? It will never sell. I mean, I would have been thrilled to get 115, just get the mortgage away. So anyway, we were living in the Rochester area, and I got an office there. And one of the rooms opened up, and a young man rented the office. And this is when eBay was first starting, so it's quite a while ago. So he walked by my office, said hi to me, and we chit-chatted. And I don't know how it came up in conversation, but he says to me, so where are you from? I said, oh, Elmira, I'm selling a home. He says, oh, how are you going to sell your home? I said, well, I'm going to list it. How else do you sell a house? You call an agent and you list it, right? And he goes, "What? Have you ever thought about eBay? eBay? What's eBay? I didn't even know what eBay was. So anyway, make a long story short, he says, hey, take a picture of the house and I'll list it for you. I go, wow, thank you, Lord. So I took some pictures. We came down, visited, and I gave it to him. And he listed the house at $189,900. Y'all are waiting, right? Relax, will you? So anyway, I get a phone. We had one couple call us from Pennsylvania. That's even before. But anyway, I had a guy call me from New York City, a lawyer. He says, "Well, I want to come and look at your property, 215 acres. You have 215 acres." So he came up with his another lawyer guy, friend of his. Anyway, I need to cut this short. Pastor Mike is itching to preach. I sold it for $189,900. When God shows favor upon your life, things will happen. You will not live in the natural. You'll be in the supernatural. Very quickly, hey, RC, do stand up. And Ken Clark, are you here too? Do stand up. Just stand there. Those are a couple of guys in the church here. Where's Ken? He's somewhere. Anyway, about a I have a son that owns a couple of gyms, and you know the government shut us down, and it was very difficult. And so about a year and a half, keep standing, Ken, it's important. So because we talk about community, and you know the pastors talk a lot about groups. Well, these guys are part of a group that meets in my office every Thursday morning. So about a year and a half ago, I told Ken and RC, Dan Flatt usually comes to second service, he's a part of the group, and is a couple of other guys that are part of this group, and we come every Thursday morning faithfully. We pray, we do a little Bible study sometimes, we read a book together and encourage each other. But a year and a half ago, I said to them, I said, guys, it's really weighing on me. These two gyms, even though they're my sons, but I was responsible, I was the bookkeeper because I had signed a note for them. And so I said, well, I really believe that God wants to get this burden off of me. And actually, Sister Andrea should be standing because she started this whole thing two or three years ago. Whenever it was, she spoke at one of the Tuesday meetings. If you're a businessman, you need to be there every Tuesday. Oops, Henry doesn't show up every Tuesday, but I have good excuses. But anyway, she talked about it, and I don't even know what she talked about, but she gave out play money, and she says, write down on the play money something you want to believe God for. So I wrote down Grand Prix Fitness and 54 Fitness. Those are the two gyms that my son owns and that I was responsible with them. And so a year and a half ago, I told these guys on a Thursday morning, I said, guys, I need you to pray with me because I'm believing that by 12/31/2020, God is going to relieve me or get rid of one of these loans. It's going to do something because we owed money, and it was very difficult to keep up with the bills. We couldn't keep up with the bills, especially with COVID shutting us down. Yet we still had to pay lease payments and whatever else. Came to 12/31/20. God didn't provide. But you know, God's timing isn't always our timing. Or our timing isn't always God's timing. But these guys kept praying with me. They're my part of my community. And about two or three months ago, I told these guys, listen, this is after COVID, and they're talking about, some of the governments are talking about shutting us down, shutting gyms down again, right? This woman, I've got to make this short, this woman told my son, I want to buy your gym. And my son goes, hey, this woman wants to buy the gym. I said, yeah, okay. I don't listen to that son that often. But anyway, so finally I said to him, I said, let me call the lady because nothing was happening. So I went and I met her up in the Bath area, like on a, I don't know, Wednesday or whatever, Thursday. By the following Friday, we were at the lawyer's office and she handed me a check for $165,000. Now, I am telling you, that is a miracle. It's just like if you had cancer and I had laid hands on you and it was gone like that. So those guys are part of my community. They stood with me. That's why groups and people are important, because you need people to stand with you. But so anyway, God doesn't want you cursed. He wants you blessed. So maybe this isn't my favorite part of the service, but I do love saying, I'm blessed, you know, because I live by the principles of God. I live by His words. I am not cursed, but I am blessed. All right, I've had enough.
Awesome. All right, are you ready to move your money into that blessed life? Let's stand to our feet and make our supernatural declaration. If you'll repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Text to give or click on the giving button and give right now.
You're the joy. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater, His power, His power. It makes me stronger, stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater, His power, His power. It makes me stronger, stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger, the joy of the Lord. It makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater, His power, His power. It makes me stronger. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will.
Do want to remind you, we do have some things out front for you. I just found them again. We've had all these DVDs. I don't even know if you have a DVD player or a CD player. Most people do not. But we do have some out there available. One is called Casting Out Devils. One is The Year of the Kingdom. Seed for Increase. Forgiveness. Depression is not from God. Amen. End times. What is it going to look like in the end times? These are available out in the foyer. If I had more time, I would hand them out. Brother Henry, hallelujah. He's a great excuse not to give them out. Praise God. I'm excited about this morning because I have a word from God for you. And it's important that you recognize that when I stand up to preach, I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm not here to just get a nice little message in that I pulled out of a book somewhere and make everybody happy and everybody goes home. My job is very clear in the scripture. The Bible says that God has given the gifts to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. They all have the same job, to equip you for the work of the ministry. Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. That wasn't too exciting. Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. To equip you for the ministry, to bring unity and to bring maturity. When I stand behind the pulpit, I take my job very clearly, as Brother Henry was saying. Honestly, I know. In fact, I just had somebody this week. They had moved on from his tabernacle, and they were respectful, and I asked them some questions. And they were bothered that I asked them some questions. And they said, well, we're just going. And I'm asking where they're going and things like that. And what my response was, is I'm going to stand before God for your soul. I would not be a good pastor if I'm not asking you these questions. And it's amazing when you recognize that this is not about going to church. There are a lot of people that go to church but do not have a spiritual father, and they do not and understand the principles of what church is about. Church is not about a place that you go to. It is a community that you belong to. It is called the Commonwealth of Heaven. It is called the kingdom of heaven. It is called the household of faith. And there's a need for understanding, because the church world in these last days, people are going to be plucked out of the kingdom because of their lack of understanding. And the lack of understanding is going to destroy them. There is a necessity that you are equipped for the work of the ministry. And here we will do that for you. If you have not joined Rock Solid Faith, I'm not sure why. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. It will make you rock solid. Well, Pastor, I've already been through it once. I've been through it. I've taught it. I've written it. I've been through it so many times I can't even count it. But I will continue, because I don't have to teach. I do teach it on Tuesdays because I love it, because it challenges and increases my understanding of the Word of the Lord to where we grow up in Christ. I challenge you to join Rock Solid Faith. If you've not joined it, if you've already completed it, join it again. There are other classes available as well. You need to grow up in Christ. Turn to someone and say, grow up.
Grow up.
Tell somebody else, grow up.
Grow up.
This is important, because as the time gets shorter, the enemy, as we've seen him get rambunctious, is going to try to take you out of the kingdom of God. I'm just so clear in my understanding of watching the enemy literally snatch people away that never would have thought themselves to go. I've watched people that we thought were solid, were not solid. We thought were solid in faith, were not solid in faith. That fear was stronger than their faith. We watch people literally have stopped coming because of COVID, and now they've not returned even after all the flags have been raised and brought down. They no longer are back. Why are they not back? Because during this time of separation, they literally, through dislocation, have dislocated from the house of God. Well, I still love the Lord. That is not true. Don't lie to yourself if you say you love God, but you don't go to God's house. You're a liar. And the reason is because God commanded you to go to church. It wasn't a suggestion. God did not make a suggestion. Forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. It was a command. And it was a command because of the necessity that we need each other and that we need a pastor. Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody's got to have somebody they submit to. Say amen.
Amen.
I submit to Bishop Rick Thomas and also to Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, and they're very much over our lives. They very much speak in over our lives. They have freedom to rebuke me, freedom to correct me. They have a freedom today to call on the telephone and say, Pastor Spencer, sit on the front row, you're done. If they did that, I would sit on the front row and be done because I'm submitted to my leadership. There is a need to recognize in these last days that there is going to come a culmination of rebellion that is going to be generated from within. It is not going to be outward rebellion, but what we call a passive rebellion. And that passive rebellion is going to dislocate people from the house of God. And in that dislocation, you might validate yourself through being offended. But the fact comes down to is now you're dislocated, now you're not obeying God, and you're going to struggle in your relationship with the Lord, and soon and very soon, you will walk away from Jesus. I've watched it. It's called the spiritual spiral, and it happens in many people's lives. So my job is very clear, and I love what I do. I love being able to put tools in your hands to be successful. I love taking the body of Christ from being just a group of people sitting on their buttocks and on a Sunday morning and doing nothing to becoming literally the army of heaven, the army of God, empowered living in the kingdom mentality. I love the kingdom understanding. Why? Because God does not think in democracy. God thinks in kingdom. And when we understand kingdom, then we understand what Jesus was doing when he walked on the planet. We understood what he was preparing before he left the planet. And we understand what he's doing now as he is moving through us on the planet. But where there's a lack of understanding of the kingdom of God, seek ye first the
kingdom.
Seek ye first the
kingdom.
Seek ye first the
kingdom.
Doesn't say seek ye first the church. Doesn't say seek ye first the religion. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Understanding kingdom brings you to a process of your life having divine purpose. Without divine purpose, you're meandering and you're lost. You're going to be like the children of Israel who wandered in the desert for 40 years and at the end of your life have nothing that God's promised for you, not because God didn't promise, but because you chose fear instead of faith. That's good preaching right there. That's not even the sermon. Now I got to try to transition. That just kind of came out. It was a good word. I'm concerned, I'm just be straight with you. I'm concerned for the body of Christ. I'm concerned for the people of the church. I'm concerned because I'm seeing stuff that terrifies me for their eternity. And when you understand the job of a true pastor, the job of a true pastor is not standing up here and preaching a sermon. It is literally raising up men and women of God to do his work and to do his will and loving the people. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. He said, then feed my sheep. So today, get out your fork and your knife. I'm going to preach a sermon very quickly. Amen?
Amen.
Shout, I'm built for the supernatural. Tell somebody else, I'm built for the supernatural. Isaiah 43:19, listen carefully, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Understanding that Jesus in these last days is desiring to do a new thing for a greater harvest before the trumpet of God shall sound. You and I need to recognize we can't do it our way. We've got to do it God's way. I said, we can't do it our way. We've got to do it God's way. David tried to bring that back, the presence of the Lord, to Jerusalem, man's way, and a man died. But when you do it God's way, God's blessing will always, and his presence will always be powerful. You see, and we understand that God always has carried his presence on the shoulders of the priests. And today I want to remind you who you are. You are a royal priesthood. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The presence of God dwells within you because when you accepted Jesus, you became possessed by the Holy Ghost. So today you are not just somebody sitting by, coming to church every once in a while, doing a nice little religious thing. You are men and women of God raised up in these last days to do the mighty work of heaven on this planet, to represent God, to represent his kingdom, to represent and show forth that God is not dead, but God is alive, and not by word only, but by power.
See, when Jesus walked on the planet, he didn't just teach the kingdom of God. He proved the kingdom of God by healing the sick, casting out devils. In the book of Acts, after Jesus ascended, he sent the disciples out to do the work of the ministry, to raise up the church. And what did he do? The disciples not only preached the gospel. I just remember Philip when he went into Samaria. He preached Jesus, and great joy came on the city, and signs and wonders and miracles were present. I want you to recognize that it's not just sharing the gospel, but you and I need to learn how to move in the power and the demonstration. Shout demonstrate. Shout demonstrate. How to demonstrate that heaven is real and that God touches man. We recognize that this all shifted. I shared this a few weeks ago. When Constantine came in the rule into 321, where they created a papacy or a priesthood, and then they separated the people, the pew, and the pulpit. And I want you to know that has never been God's plan. God's plan is that you are a minister of the gospel of Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I am a minister. Tell somebody else, I am a minister. I've watched as it has disenfranchised people from the gifts that God has put within them. That literally people come to church and they get bored. The only way you can get bored in the house of God is if you're not doing the will of God. The only way you can gossip in the house of God is if you're not doing the will of God. The only way to become offended in the house of God is if you're not living in the will of God. Say amen. Amen. If you're busy doing kingdom business, you cannot get offended because you don't have time. Say amen. Amen. Turn to someone and say, get busy. Get busy. Tell somebody else, get busy. Get busy. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out devils, give as freely as you have received. This was not given to people who even had the Holy Ghost at that point in time. This was given to the disciples in an old covenant mindset. But Jesus empowered them. Now we find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, that Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, now go. You see, Christ has handed the baton to the body of Christ, that's you and I. And we have been called not to do it our way, but to do it God's way. And the problem is simply this, is that separation that happened within the church world and the church mentality was when you start talking about a minister, you start thinking about a full-time pastor on salary. I'm here to tell you, that is not a minister of the gospel at all. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. Tell somebody else, I'm a minister. You see, Jesus showed us the mind of God, kingdom work. I love this because you don't have to question. You don't have to sit back and say, am I doing it right? I'm going to show you how to do it right because I'm going to show you how Jesus did it and then how the disciples did it. You see, Jesus taught the disciples. The disciples wrote the text, which is called the Bible. That text teaches us how to do it God's way and not man's way. And Jesus, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, announcing or preaching the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. How many?
Every.
How many?
Every
kind. There is not one disease that is too big. There is not one disease that is too strong. There is not one sickness that God can't heal. God can do all things. In fact, God does not only want to do it, he longs to do that. He longs to heal you. He longs to set you free. He didn't just heal some, he healed them. We then watch the disciples. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And the disciples went out, preached everywhere, the gospel, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs that accompanying it. You cannot separate the gospel and the power. You cannot separate the gospel message that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, and rose again. And he died for your sin. You cannot preach the gospel without seeing the power in the Bible. This is the problem. We have a gospel that tries to appease people in today's society. We don't want to offend people. We don't want people to feel that things are odd. We don't want them to see the supernatural. It makes them uncomfortable. But yet, they'll go to the psychic. Can I hear an amen? They'll go to a Reiki healer. Can I hear an amen? They'll go get their palms read. Can I hear an amen? But in church, you start talking about the supernatural, and it's a little strange. I want you to know that you are built for the supernatural, that the supernatural God who raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit dwells inside of you. You were built for the supernatural. The supernatural is not strange. The supernatural is normal. Our problem is that when the body of Christ doesn't believe God's own words, then we live substandard. We do what we think is best. When David did that, that man died. People will die when we do the gospel our way. What do you mean, Pastor, they die? Listen, this is the scary part about seeker-sensitive churches. Seeker-sensitive churches will stand up there and they'll preach a nice little gospel not to offend anybody, but there'll be no power. When it comes time for true persecution to come upon the church, which we saw a little bit of it, just a little, fraction. When it comes to you having to give your life for the gospel, if you don't have enough power, baby, you're not going to be able to stand. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 proves it. The Bible says, you shall receive power. The word power there is dunamis, supernatural power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The word witness there does not mean someone sharing the gospel. The word witness there means martyr. In the last days, people are going to have to give their life for their faith. And if you don't understand that, you need to get on Fox's Book of Martyrs that are rigging on the internet about martyrdom today in Christianity. Today, people are dying simply for one reason. They love Jesus. There's no other reason they're going to die. There's no other reason they're going to have to give their life. But in America, we live in this protected society to where we as believers, we go to church, we do our religious thing, we go home, and we say, kumbaya, everything is good. But I'm here to tell you, there will come a time of the separation of the sheep and the goats. And separation of the sheep and the goats always happens through persecution in the scripture. And when you do not have enough power, you're going to struggle when persecution comes. If you did not make it through COVID, you will not make it through persecution. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. If you did not make it through COVID and allow fear to generate and to overwhelm your life, when you have to give your life, you won't do it. When it's going to cost you your child's life, you won't do it. Listen, that's not a strange thing. In the time of Nero, they would take your babies. They would wrap them in animals' clothing. And they would say, the Colosseum is full. And if you do not recant your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to take your baby that's wrapped in animal clothing. We're going to send them out in the Colosseum, and they're going to be eaten alive, torn from limb to limb by the animals as literally as entertainment for the people in the Colosseum. They had to make a decision. Moms and dads had to choose. Do I really believe that Jesus Christ, do I have the power to say, I am not going to recant? Here we are in Christianity. It's not about recanting even in American church. Our challenge is getting people even to share in the American church. Even to share the gospel is challenging for people. Not even to have to pay for the gospel, but to share the gospel is a challenge. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. What are they going to think about me? You know, what are they going to say about me? You know, I don't want people to dislike me. Listen, Jesus said it the best. I don't know. Sean just sent me a note yesterday. He was at Kohl's and went into the bathroom. And when he went into the bathroom, my name was on the bathroom stall. And literally, like the week before, a guy I don't think I've ever met the young man. He sent me a message, said, "Pastor, I just think you need to know you're on this stall in this other restaurant." So Red Robin and Kohl's has had my name on the stall. And I'm saying, I don't even know who did that, but guess what? Haters are gonna always be haters, amen? And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're gonna hate you. You gotta have the power. Can I hear an amen? You gotta know God. Can I hear an amen? You gotta know why you're alive. Can I hear an amen? You've gotta know your purpose. Can I hear an amen? Or you're gonna walk away when it starts getting challenging. You see, you are a minister, church. Shout, I'm a minister. Shout, I'm a minister. What is a minister? We've already talked about it. Ecclesia is literally the word that means legislative body. You are a diplomat from another country. You are an ambassador from another kingdom. That is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, you weren't born here. You were sent here. You were sent for this time and this season as a diplomat from heaven to do heaven's bidding, to live the way Christ lived, to do what Christ has done, to share the gospel so that lives will be changed and challenged. That in these last days, people that were created in the image of God do not have to be damned because they rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the people of God. We are the only ones. We are the ones that literally carry the very message of the goodness of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, so we are Christ's ambassadors, making this, God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when he pleaded, come back to God. Literally, we are that people. When we lose this, then the church has lost its purpose. This is why so many churches are closing. This is why so many people have abandoned. This is why people are challenged. They've lost purpose. Why are you breathing? Well, I'm making some money. You can make the money, baby. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You can be number one in this. You can be number one in that. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. They'll put your name up on a wall and it'll be there 50 years from now. No one's going to know you. It doesn't do Hank Aaron or any of these other famous baseball players any good that their names are known all over the, that their baseball cards sell for $1 million. Doesn't do them any good. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Why are you alive? Why are you breathing? What are you here for? We are here to do the bidding of heaven. We are here to do the will of God. We've already shared on how to share the gospel. We already talked about that you should have your covenant right here with seven names on it, and you should be praying over them, declaring over them, binding the devil who's blinding the minds over them. We've given you tools about how you can share Jesus with people. These are all available for you. But there is this portion that I want to start to break through this morning. We are going to be late. To break through this morning. And that is, it's not in word only, but also in deed. There is something that Jesus did. He taught and he healed. Something the disciples did. They taught and they healed. Something that you and I are called to do, we're called to teach and to heal. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, there are some that should be teachers that still need the milk of the word. They never grew up in Christ. Listen, if you've been born again 10 years and you're not doing anything for Jesus, then there's a problem in your spiritual walk. You might not be saved. Who are you to judge? I don't have to judge. The Bible says that the parable of the talents, the one with the five, the one with the two, and the one with the one. One with the five got double. The one with the two got double. The one that hid their talent, literally, the Bible said, throw them in the fire. When you don't use your gifts, you got to wonder where you are. Say amen.
Amen.
I said, say amen.
Amen.
And God has gifted you and wants to use you to reach a people group that only you can reach. You are going to touch people that I will never meet. And God has a message, not just a message, but he has a validation to go with you. The Bible declares in Mark chapter 16, I already read the verse, that the disciples went around preaching the gospel, and God confirmed his word with signs and wonders following. It's time to be people of signs and wonders. You were built for the supernatural. You are alive in the natural, but God wants to use you in the supernatural. He wants to use you with healing. He wants to use you to cast out devils. He wants to use you even to raise the dead. Well, I'm not sure about that raising from the dead thing, Pastor. Listen, if you never pray for a dead person, don't worry about it. There comes a time that you have got to be able to step out in faith. What are you going to lose praying for a dead person? I prayed for more than one dead person. Some of them stayed dead. And I said, but I prayed. I'm not the healer anyways. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
But if you never pray for a dead man, you'll never see a dead man raised. But man, when you start seeing a dead man raised, I don't know, we might see you running out the door having to change your load before anybody else. Can I hear an amen? First time someone sits up and says, hey, it works. We've got to do what Jesus did. We're not all part of the fivefold ministry gifts. We're not all apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. But we all are ministers. And every day you walk out, you and I are ministers of the gospel, and people are watching not our lips, but they're watching our life.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
And in that, the gospel is being preached by how we live. But there comes a time when the gospel has to be proven through the laying on of hands and through the healing power of Jesus Christ to confirm the word that has been spoken. You've got to know that that is for you, not just for me. I've seen many people healed, many people. I've seen literally every kind of healing that you can imagine. From skin to hair to teeth, I've seen cancer, I've seen blind eyes, I've seen deaf ears open. That deaf-eared person, literally, they didn't even have eardrum. They had nothing inside. They had a metal plate. I've seen people that had multiple sclerosis healed, that could not walk, that got up and walked. I've watched people with tumors on their bodies disappear, women with breast cancer be completely set free. I've seen time and time again, miracle after miracle after miracle. But God isn't using me in miracles because my name is Pastor Michael Spencer. God is using me in miracles because I'm willing to say, listen, this is the good news. Now let's watch God do his thing to validate that his message is true. Shout, I'm a minister. Shout, I'm a minister. Ooh, you are too. You see, we've got to start doing it God's way. Well, you know, Pastor, you mean me. I'm just a little Christian. Listen, give me a baby Christian any day who gets this message and is willing to do it. You'll see people healed all over the place. It's us mature Christians that got issues.
Well, you know, I prayed for Aunt Lucy and she died.
Listen, you don't know why Aunt Lucy died. You don't got a clue what's going on in Aunt Lucy's life. You don't know that maybe she gave up. You don't know maybe she had things in her lifestyle that literally did not please God and did not open the door for her healing. Say amen. You haven't been called to heal them. You've been called to pray for them. And when you allow circumstances to be a larger dictator than the word of God, then you've traded the ultimate truth for your circumstantial evidence. circumstances will kill you. Listen, if it wasn't true, I'd walk away from God. I've had more people walk away from God than stay with God. So that means the evidence is that, listen, it's not real. But when you know God, and you can't change that. You've got to make a decision that the Word of God is true and that it is ultimately the pinnacle truth in our lives. And when you understand that, then this message is very clear that Jesus has called us, Mark chapter 16, 17 through 18, and these miraculous signs shall follow them that believe. If you're a believer, shout amen. Amen. I said, if you're a believer, shout amen. Amen. If you're a believer, shout, I'm a minister. These signs, what are the signs? They shall cast out devils.
Well, I don't know if I believe in demons.
Oh, they believe in you. They're just hoping you stay dumb. Because if you start waking up, come on now, you're going to cause some spiritual issues. You see, I don't know about you. I've been called to rumble with hell. I've been called to kick the devil in the teeth. I've been called and called, Jesus called me more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've been given all authority over the power of the devil. You've got to recognize the devil is afraid of you. He's afraid of you. He's afraid you're going to wake up. He's afraid you're going to have understanding. And when you do, you will cause him problems. People can't deny a miracle. You won't stay saved because of a miracle, but it eliminates doubt and confirms the word of the Lord. John 14, 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Everyone in this room. Jesus left so we could do more. But yet the church in America is doing less than they've ever done before. The average church in America sees less than one soul saved a year. Most people in American churches have never seen a miracle. In this house, they happen literally every single week. People are saved almost every single week. How is that possible? That's possible because I refuse to be a nice little preacherette. I'm either going to see God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or I'm going to go home. I'll go do something else. This is not religion to me. This is about how God wants to build his kingdom. And we are the ones that have to make a decision. Ah, come on. I told you the story before. I had this woman walk up to me one time. She says, well, I'm leaving the church. And I said, what are you leaving for? She goes, all you do is push, 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 push. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you never let us relax. You're always pushing us to do more, pushing us to do more. Well, I'm sick of it. I just want to go to church and sit down and have peace. Well, you're right. This is the wrong church for you. Because I'm not interested in raising up a bunch of crib babies. Can I hear an amen? I'm interested in raising up the army of God. That we can step into an arena and see God bring change and transformation, not only with the gospel, but with the power that backs it up, where you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead, you will cast out devils. Jesus declared it, Jesus said it, and I just happen to believe that Jesus is real and that Jesus is truth. And if Jesus said it, that's all that matters to me.
Ooh, I can go get a little excited here.
The issue is not that the Bible says it. The issue is that the church don't believe it. The issue isn't that Jesus gave us. The issue is that the church does not believe that it's for us. You cannot have what you don't believe for. You cannot live within what you don't believe is for you. If you don't believe you belong at the table, you're never going to go into the dining room. And this is an issue. We got a lot of good church folk. Hallelujah. They can say hallelujah on cue. Most don't even know what the word hallelujah means. So I'll just give this to you. The word hallelujah means glory be to God. So when we sing hallelujah, we're saying glory be to God. That was free. The issue is that I can stand up here and preach the truth. But if you're not going to mingle your faith with the truth, the person next to you will walk out with fire burning in their bones. But you'll walk away and go, well, that was a nice sermon. I'm not here to preach a nice sermon. I'm here to equip you for the work of the ministry. I'm here to tell you that there are miracles in you. I'm here to tell you that somebody needs you to believe that you shall cast out devils, because there are people walking around on this planet with a lot of devils. There are people walking around Horseheads, New York with a lot of devils. There are a lot of people in Elmira with a lot of devils, and the church has sat back. Come on now. The church has sat back, and the devils don't worry because the church don't believe they can cast out devils. We're going to teach you how to do that too. Yeah, we got about a month and a half. You don't want to miss nothing of. Camping, camp here. Until you realize it's for you, you're always going to look for somebody else. I say it again. You're going to wait for the evangelist to come through. You're going to hope the pastor does his thing. Pastor don't need to do his thing. Same spirit that's in me is in you. The same authority has been given to me has been given to you. I might be part of the fivefold ministry gift, but you're just as much of a minister of the gospel as I am. Until the church gets this, then we're going to live under the supremacy of Constantine, where he's dislocated, disenfranchised the body of Christ from doing what Christ mandated us to do in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and the book of Mark chapter 16. Go and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You are a signpost, and people are waiting to see that you cast out devils, that you speak with new tongues, that if you touch any other thing, it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know about that.
Well, we're going to prove it to you starting in a few weeks. Is that all right? Next week, Brother Teddy's preaching. You don't want to miss that. Some are challenged with this. Some simply want to go to heaven, and this doesn't interest them. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm really not interested in understanding what I'm called to do. I just don't want to go to hell. Well, I mean, I can understand that. The problem is, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So love is doing. You can't get saved by doing, but when you are saved, you'll do. So if you say you're saved, then there is no do, then you got to wonder if you hit the front spot first. Oh, yeah, we're going to be late. I'm okay. You just don't hit anybody in the parking lot. That's the deal. There are folks that literally don't want to do God's will because it will inconvenience them. And we have every excuse in the world. The moment you start using an excuse, you know, yesterday I was driving, And I was thinking about something, and I excused myself. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, if you start using excuses, you'll always use excuses. The moment you start excusing yourself, you'll always excuse yourself when it becomes uncomfortable. I just came back from the Iron Butt. There's an association called the Iron Butt Association. It is 1,000 miles on a motorcycle in less than 24 hours. My brother-in-law, who I love-hate, and Brother Ken, they had decided to go on the Iron Butt. And my brother-in-law said to me, you should go with us. And I'm not really a peer pressure kind of guy, but I said, yeah, I should go with you. Stupid. Last Monday at 3:30 a.m., we met over, actually at 3 a.m., we met over at the gas station, gassed up, did all the requirements for the iron butt associate. By the way, even when you accomplish it, you have to pay to get your own little sticker. That's stupid. <laughs> 1,000 miles. But you know why I did it? Do you know why? Because I could have made a decision at 2:20 when my alarm went off. The reason I said, no, you will do this is because I always try to make myself do something I don't want to do. Because if you only do what you're comfortable doing, you'll never change forward. And if the devil can keep you from laying hands on sick people because you're wondering if it will work or not, then you will never change forward because you'll never share the gospel, you'll never lay hands on the sick, and God's word will not be confirmed, and they'll just think you're just a religious nut. They don't think you're a nut when all of a sudden they got healed because they can't deny the healing. Amen. We've got to make a decision. What are we in this thing for? What are we in church for? I know how to build a big church. It's not this way. How you build a big church is very easy. 20-minute worship. Nobody's allowed to raise their hands. You don't do an offering. You just leave offering buckets in the back. You never talk about money. And I preach a 20-minute message. You want to know how I can grow this church? I can triple this church in 1 year if I did that. But yet when persecution came, or when it came time to do the will of God, ain't nobody going to be ready. I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to build the kingdom. Not my kingdom. I'm here to build God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Some are so wrapped up in their own lives, they don't care about anybody else. That's why they don't share the gospel or lay hands on people. Some are wrapped up in their own problems so much, they live in survival mode. They'll never be proactive. Some just have never heard. Some think their past has disqualified them from God using them. Some are so intimidated, for the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Some are just not sure if healing is always God's will, so their faith is wavering. In this next month, I'm going to teach you it's always God's will to heal. I'm going to prove it to you through the word, not through my opinion. I'm going to teach you how to lay hands on people and get them healed. I'm going to teach you how to speak the word over their life and see miracles come out. I'm going to teach you how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit with the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. We're going to teach those things so that you'll know how to do this. You don't go to McDonald's and get hired and they tell you just go in and make a burger. They sit you down and they teach you how to make the burger. Is it real? I don't know. But they teach you how to make it. It is a great flaw of the body of Christ when they don't teach the body how to do. This is not about feelings. This is about truth. And the truth makes people free. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads with me this morning. I've gone a little late. It's 10:30. No, it's 11:30, 12:30. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior or you're not right with God, you're in a very bad spot. Whether you realize it or not, your sin will destroy you. Churches don't like to talk about sin either. It makes people uncomfortable. The wages of sin is death. Get rid of the sin or the sin will get rid of you. Get right with God. I didn't say religion. I didn't say church. I said, get right with God and your life will be transformed. Old things being passed away, all things becoming new. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's going to give you a divine purpose and guidance. He's going to empower you and use your life so that when you take your last breath, you don't have to have any kind of regret, but you'll know you've done what God's called you to do. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Maybe you're online this morning. If you'd like to receive Jesus online this morning, I want you to get right over to your computer. I want you to type in 97000. Text it. 97000, and in the line, right, I am saved. Someone's going to get right in touch with you. We got a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. Come on, it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. I'm going to give one more shot here in the room. Anybody here need Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Slide your hand up right now. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Not going to wait long. Come on. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Promise me no fist fighting in the parking lot. I'm excited because I knew whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Not just singularly, but corporately. Oh, come on, baby, hang on. Some of you used to have the fire of God burning in your spirit. Now you barely got a flicker. You need to get excited about Jesus. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. And he's coming for you. There is one more person that needs to get right with the Lord. When I dismiss, I know who you are. The Lord already showed me who you are. I'm speaking to you specifically. You need to get right with God today. You need to get right with God today. I need the prayer warriors starting to pray right now for that individual. At the end of service, Mindy's right here. Raise your hand. You're a little mouthy, aren't you? You're a Spencer woman. If you want to get right with God, make sure you make your way up to Mindy. We'll pray with you. Prayer teams coming around the front of the altar. Whatever you need in the spirit, remember everything is spiritual first. Whatever you need God to move in your life, I want you to come on up, get hands laid on you, get ministered to in the Holy Ghost. Father, I just speak blessing right now over this church. Lord, I release miracles at this very moment in the name of Jesus. Lord, I preached your word. And Lord, I know that as I preached your word, you said signs and wonders shall follow. I release, oh God, miracles of healing. I release right now miracles of finances. I release miracles in relationships in Jesus' name. I release miracles in the soul, God. Transform their soul in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're raising up a body of believers who are going to do mighty exploits for heaven on earth to show that you are a good God and you love people. Thank you for all those watching on live stream. Thank you for all those that are watching via television. Lord, thank you for all the 180 nations who are listening around the world. We just speak life to them right now. And God, they'll get fired up in the Holy Ghost. Lord, they'll do great and mighty things for heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Come on, bring somebody next week. Brother Teddy's going to be preaching. You don't want to miss it.
The joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength. Joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And I'm singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes.